Nuketown Radioactive number 39 for Tuesday, October 10th, 2006. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive, a podcast dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. I'm your host, Ken Newquist. And, well, folks, welcome to the show. Welcome to the new show. Welcome to the experimental show. The podcast probably would have been up about a week and a half ago if I hadn't taken the time to just kind of revisit how I'm recording the podcast and see if I can improve things a little bit within the confines of my existing equipment. For probably most of the podcasts in the recurrent era, we're recorded using a Logitech headphone mic and Audacity. Which was good, but you know, I wasn't really pleased with the sound quality overall because it had a tendency to catch every little sound, you know, those little mouth sounds, breathing, sighs, those kinds of things. And also just there would occasionally be line noise when things would knock against stuff, where the cord for the headset would rub against something and get a little crackling on the line. So here's an alternative setup where I'm using an open air mic, which we actually used to record the Arkham Horror review a while back. And it's recording it into GarageBand using one of the built-in filters. And so far, I'm liking the sound quality. I think it's offering a pretty good improvement over what I had before. But the big test will be, as was the case earlier with GarageBand, to see how it got exported and to see how the sound quality held up once all the tracks were merged together. And, you know, I played around with the music quality and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, so far I'm liking what I've been hearing in my little tests. I've only re-recorded this podcast about, maybe 8 times. So, you know, it's been something of a little adventure over the last few weeks. But, you know, let me know what you think. Send me an email at nuketown@gmail.com or post to the website. Now, the other reason why I've been particularly busy, and actually I'd kind of hoped to do this podcast about 2 weeks ago, right after the last podcast, and to talk about NukemCon, which was something that just consumed all of my energy probably for about a week and a half. But it was a good thing because it gave me a chance to just kind of totally geek out and immerse myself in adventure preparation. And I haven't really kind of done that in a while. So what, you may ask, is NukemCon? Well, you know, everybody else, I got to sit around and listen to everybody else gloat about going to Gen Con. And it certainly made me long for those days of being in Milwaukee. Or, you know, Indianapolis, although I haven't actually been to Indianapolis yet. But now we have NukemCon, and NukemCon is actually a reaction to Gen Con. Much, much smaller. Basically, here's the deal. We went to Gen Con for about 3 years, in 99, 2000, 2001. I think a couple of guys might have gone in 2002 as well. And it was great for our gaming group. We went as a pretty large contingent. I think there were probably like somewhere between 6 and 7 of us when we would go out. And it was just kind of a great bonding opportunity for the group. It was fun to play together at Gen Con. It was fun to just go out. You know, we'd spend like $350 or something like that on dinner, buy lots of beer, get a wee bit drunk, and kind of just have fun hanging out away from the world and away from your normal everyday concerns. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, mostly those everyday concerns kind of like reaching up and throttling everyone, you know, we couldn't go to Gen Con anymore. So we decided, about 3 years ago, we decided, hey, you know what, we really miss this experience of going to Gen Con. And I think we should try and recreate it here. And basically, NukeCon was born, or rather, NukemCon. But that's a story in and of itself. We won't really go into the name change right now because it's not a very nice story. But anyway, yeah, let's just say that somebody asked us to change our name. And we did. So, anyway, NukemCon is basically 3 days of gaming in Pennsylvania. We get all of our friends together. Hopefully we get a couple of friends together whom we haven't seen in a while. And we set it up kind of like a con. We set it up with tracks. We set it up with an actual schedule. We figure out when, you know, the breaks are going to be. We figure out what games we're hoping to run in the different sessions. And we run it. So the last couple of years, I think the first year we did it, we actually had a lot of people. We probably had about 14. This year, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 8. It varied depending on the day. But it was a heck of a lot of fun, and I think it satisfied that urge that we all had to just be able to kind of just immerse yourselves in gaming for a couple of days. And like I say, you know, put the world on hold for a while. It started off on Friday, and with that, we played Settlers of Catan, which was pretty cool. And then we played D&D that night, with a D&D adventure featuring our higher-level B-team characters trying to take down the infamous mage Eyebiter, whom our lower-level characters had gotten their butts kicked by a few weeks earlier. So that was a pretty cool adventure. Some of you who may have played Greyhawk and know Against the Giants, Eyebiter was one of the NPCs from there, and he shows up in the Liberation of Joff a couple of years later. That was great. We had some friends come up who we haven't seen in a while. My friends Bill and Jess, who used to be, you know, kind of the stalwarts of the campaign, but moved away and just weren't able to game as much anymore. One lives in Philly, one lives in Delaware, and it's just a little bit too hard for them to get up every week to game with us. Then Saturday morning, so half the crew, about four guys, go and play a round of disc golf, which, you know, I kind of vaguely heard of disc golf. I thought it might have been some weird offshoot of Ultimate Frisbee, which I don't know, maybe it is, but I didn't know it was so popular. Apparently we have like six courses in the Lehigh Valley, and the Lehigh Valley actually hosted the disc golf championships like 2 years ago. So one of our friends from Delaware was just really enjoys disc golf, and he suggested that they go off and do it. So the rest of the guys, they went off and did that while I stayed home and wrote the adventure. So Sue was out with the kids, so I headed over to the coffee shop, pulled out the trusty old power book, and just kind of relaxed, drank coffee for a while, and worked on my adventure, which was actually pretty cool. It was Skell's Lair was the name of my adventure, and it was a follow-up to an event that happened in the campaign a couple years ago where the players killed this mature adult white dragon, but they never actually hunted down its lair. So this was going and finding Skell's lair and being somewhat surprised by the portal to the para-elemental plane of ice that they found there, as well as a few of Skell's draconic progeny. So it was a great adventure, but it ran until like 3:30 in the morning, I think, which we were all kind of getting punchy there near the end. But it was great. I'd definitely do it all over again. Earlier that day, after everybody got back from playing disc golf, we played Arkham Horror again, which, you know, I'm just not getting tired of this game. We've played it again since NukemCon last Friday. And this game has so many different variants to it, and there's so many different twists that, you know, it's going to probably be one of my board game choices for quite a while when it comes to figuring out what we want to play that's other than D&D, especially if we get some of the expansions, because the expansions look really, really cool. On Saturday night before my session, we broke and we went to Witchprew, which is a pub downtown in Easton, and you know, that was good, drinking some good microbrew beer, having some excellent dinner. Took a little bit longer than we were kind of hoping for, but, you know, it was a great dinner, hanging out with friends, and we got home before the rain came, so that was pretty cool, because we were eating out on the deck. The following day, as I was almost in a gaming coma, we played Battletech Sunday afternoon. Trying to do a session before, say, noon on Sunday after you've been up until 3:30 just didn't really work all that well, which is probably an area where we diverge from Gen Con, since at Gen Con, everyone just kind of forsakes sleep entirely. But anyway, Battletech ruled the day on Sunday afternoon, with Innersphere Mech succeeding in destroying a clan fuel depot, but admittedly resorting to dishonorable many-versus-one tactics in order to do so. But it was great. You know, I enjoy Battletech. It's a fun game. I have a hard time remembering the rules, because I don't think I've actually sat down and read them since college. And on Sunday, it was compounded by the fact that I was just exhausted. My voice was kind of like half gone from DMing the night before. So, you know, I was just like, so what do I roll? And okay, so how many missiles hit? And just tell me what little bubbles to color in. Because I think ultimately that's probably my favorite part of Battletech. Coloring in the little dots and watching as things explode on my mech. Or better yet, explode on other people's mech. Overall, it was a great weekend. I certainly think that we achieve the goals that we set out for, and you know, there's a couple changes I would make next year. I think next year we're just going to shoot for running just a morning and an afternoon, well, more just probably like a late morning, early afternoon session, break for kind of like a long lunch, and then have a like a probably a longer night session, so that we could start with a night session probably around, say, like 5 o'clock after everyone's had something to eat, and maybe have a mini break in between to have some hot dogs or burgers or something, and then launch into the rest of it. So that we have a good, like 6 hours for the evening session, and thus don't have to stay up until 3:30 at night. But again, I think this is an awesome idea. If you have a gaming group, if you have a group of guys that you hang out with, or men and women that you hang out with and game with, I think it's just a great opportunity to just change the pace, recharge your gaming batteries. You may end up wanting to play board games for a while after you have this much role playing in a short period of time. But it's really a great idea. I think it's worked well for us, and I think it could work well for other folks as well.
Hi, this is George Takei. I love listening to the Geek Labor podcast, and you will too. I'm getting paid for this, right? Run, run, run! Well.
So, not a lot of sites of note this week, because I've been kind of slacking. Well, I haven't actually been slacking in general, because I've been working on my little audio experiments for this. I've been kind of trying to still resurrect the Nuketown Radiations newsletter. I've been watching a lot of TV because there's some really good sci-fi geeky goodness going on, but that'll probably be discussed in the next podcast. And anyway, I just haven't a lot of time to just be idly surfing, and when I have been surfing, I haven't really been making an effort to bookmark the stuff I wanted to talk about. But that's okay, because my listeners have actually suggested some stuff, and it's some pretty good stuff. First, Michael at the Geek Gazette, which you can find at geekgazette.tripod.com. Of course, the link will be in the show notes. Emailed me, and I had first heard about Michael's newsletter on Dragon's Landing, but then at the time he didn't have a web page, so it was kind of like a one-off thing, and I was trying to figure out where the heck the website was. And then fortunately, out of the blue, he emailed me. And here's basically the deal. It's a PDF newsletter. It's actually, in some circles, a print newsletter as well, if I remember correctly. But I think most people are just going to get it from email as a PDF. But it's like a good old-fashioned freaking science fiction zine, which is just awesome, because a lot of those have really just kind of died off. The internet kind of killed them, and then there's still a couple of self-published ones out there, I'm sure, but I really haven't been encountering them. I know when I go into some of the more obscure bookshops in the city, you'll come across these things, but as far as I'm concerned, living in freaking Eastern PA, you don't see this stuff. So it was very exciting to kind of see the kind of old school newsletter resurge. But anyway, so the basic description is, each month we try and bring you the best concerning gaming, comics, and general geekiness, which is an awesome mission, right? The September issue features an interview with Jonathan Colton and a review of this very podcast. There's also some Alpha Flight goodness in there, and I still have to read the rest of the September issue. It's been sitting in my inbox for a while, but good stuff, really good stuff. So what can I say, guys? I'm excited. I really like the fact that this newsletter exists, and I wish Michael, the best in his ongoing efforts, because I remember those days. I remember when I first started Nuketown, and it was like 1996, and I put up the first few things, and it's like, is anybody actually reading this? And then the pressure that was I put on myself to get the issue out each month, and like I say, it's just great to see another zine come into existence. Now, another geek-related thing would be the Geek Label Podcast. Kingfish of the Geek Legal Label Podcast actually emailed me after the last show when I was pleading for promos. I got one of his promos, as you heard just before this segment. And look, folks, results, right? You send me a promo, I play the promo, everybody's happy. So Geek Label's pretty cool. I first heard about them in Dragon Magazine. And the reason why is because Geek Label actually makes t-shirts, geek t-shirts, a whole bunch of different kinds of geek t-shirts, kind of general geekiness, gaming geekiness, pen and paper geekiness, gaming geekiness, just all kinds of great, geek t-shirts. And the reason why it kind of caught my attention was because mine are really getting kind of threadbare, guys. Most of mine came from Gen Con 2001 or from that run from 99 through 2001. And although I have gotten a few more over the years, in fact, I just got two recently, from, I guess it was Think Geek. First one just says Geek on it, which is awesome. And the other one is Joss Whedon is my master now, which is a reference that nobody but a geek gets. And I've kind of had to explain the t-shirt a couple of times because you have the whole Joss Whedon thing, and then you've got the whole Star Wars quote thing. And I guess that's a more entertaining t-shirt because you get to watch people's expressions while they try and figure out your t-shirt. But anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, Geek Label makes some pretty damn cool t-shirts. They've got, I really like the gaming ones, and I think those are the ones I'm probably going to get. Like, there's one that's perfect for my friend Bob, which is another prayer shouting, undead turning, blunt weapon swinging cleric. And the other one, which is probably even more appropriate for Bob, which is just because I heal you doesn't mean I like you. there's a respect the mage, which I think is pretty good for me since I have a tendency to play mages. Then in terms of comics, there was Galactus Ate My Planet, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt, which I think would be awesome because that's another one of those references that only geeks are going to get. I'll suppose the mainstream will get it a little bit more with the next two Fantastic Four movies, since from what I understand, Silver Surfer shows up in the next one, and since he is the Herald of Galactus, I assume that means we'll see the big guy in the third movie. They also gave me a gift certificate to the site, and I very much am looking forward to checking it out. I would have checked it out regardless, but and I was ready to put my hard-earned cash on the line to get some t-shirts, and I still will because I think I need to restock my t-shirt supplies, right, guys? I wholeheartedly recommend checking it out. That is only half the story because the guy's got a podcast too, and that's where the other part where I'd heard him. I'd already seen them in Dragon, and I think I visited their sites once or twice. And then there's an RPG podcasters forum right now, which admittedly I haven't been following that much because they talk a lot and I am very busy. And I cannot keep up with all the conversations that are going on that forum. But I saw the guys post in there and I thought, all right, this is another podcast that I have to check out. And it's great. I mean, it's lots of general geekiness. It's got a geek news segment, which I thought was pretty, well, how many times can I say geeky in this podcast, right? But it's good. It was cool in a way that, of course, all of us will appreciate. And geek trivia, where you could, you know, win Geek Label merchandise. And just all in all, like a really good podcast. I've been listening to it while I'm at the gym. I think it's definitely worth checking out. So many thanks to Kingfish for, letting me know, reminding me that they exist, and sending in the promo. I got a couple other ones I'm going to play over the next couple of weeks. If you guys want to send me a promo, you can send it to me at nuketown@gmail.com. And as Geek Label shows, if you send me the promos, I will play them. And I know you're saying, Ken, but why don't you have any promos? And I say, yes, I know. That was the other project I've been working on. There are some new radioactive promos that I've been trying to put together, trying to come up with the right background music for it. So we'll see. Hopefully the promos will be done in the very near future. Now, the last thing I want to mention, and actually the link for this is way too long, so I'm not going to include it in the actual... I'm not going to try and say it now, but it'll be in the show notes. And I wholeheartedly recommend any geeks who work on a Mac to get this thing. It's called Anti-RSI, and basically it's Anti-Repetitive Stress Injury. And it's this cool little tool. It's kind of like a little widget application, but it doesn't actually, it sits on your dock. It's not a widget that sits in Dashboard or sits in Yahoo Widgets or anything. But basically it's a timer, and it pops up and tells you when you should take a break. You can set things, and you can set it up so that it steals focus so that you can't type, but you can also just set it up as kind of a reminder. That's how I usually do it. And I think that, you know, for geeks, this is something that we all really have to be aware of because it's a problem. You know, everything we do, we use our hands. It doesn't matter if it's, if you're handwriting your freaking adventures, or, you know, if you're you're working on D&D, your D&D campaign and typing it out, or you're, you know, playing on Xbox, or, you know, almost I think every geek has some sort of job that uses their hands. And this application and applications like it, I think, can be a real lifesaver because it reminds you to take a break. Because I think we've all been there to one extent or another where you're just kind of in the zone and you're writing. And the next thing you know, you feel, you know, hands are a little sore. And, you know, gee, that you just kind of, you know, 4 hours later, you finally take a break. And that's just not healthy. Kind of going on my whole, you know, geek fitness routine. This is a cool idea. This is a good way to remind yourself that you need to take a break. once an hour, it tells you to go and take it like a nice 8 minute break. And I think these kinds of things are important just to, you know, get you to kind of step out of the zone and remember to take a freaking break, right? Geek Dad spoiler warning, scary music ahead. So if you've got kids in the car, pause the iPod. Back into movie review land, folks. And one of the things I love about Netflix is that I can get the DVDs of the movies that I wouldn't actually pay to rent or pay to buy or pay to see in the theater. And I know technically by having Netflix, I'm paying to rent it, but it doesn't feel like that. So I can have the guilty pleasures of watching movies like Doom, which are really awful. They're really just not good. The introductory music, if you didn't recognize it, and I'll admit I didn't because I haven't played the game, that's the theme to Doom 3. And, you know, I kind of cut my teeth as far as first-person shooters goes on Doom, and I'm really nostalgic for it, right? And, you know, there's three parts, I think, to a good Doom movie. You've got your demons, you've got your Marines, and you've got Mars, right? That's what they've got. That's what they need. And this movie somehow fails to just mess this concept up. I don't get how you sit in a planning meeting and go, well, you know, yeah, well, I get the whole Marines thing. Ever since Aliens, they've been good. And I get the Mars thing because, hey, you know, Total Recall was cool, right? But, you know, this demon thing, I just don't get it. I think instead of doing something unique and different like that, I think we should just go and do something that's been done 1,000 times before in monster movies. That's right, genetically mutated humans. That's a great idea! Right? No, it's not. It sucks. It's stupid. I'm just a little bit frustrated because, again, this should have been easy, right? But it's not. So they decided that they would go with a more figurative hell instead of a literal hell. And thus, there are no demons to combat. There are, you know, none of those cool minotaur demons that you just hope that you can get a good rocket launcher shot at. There's none of the various spawn that you found throughout the entire various levels of heck in the freaking game. You know, it's just yet another abandoned space base with yet another weird mutagenic monster running amok and not even the self-awareness to kind of mock the situation and the lack of unoriginality, which kind of could have saved the movie, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson does a pretty competent job as Sarge, the leader of the Marines, who will do anything to accomplish his mission. And the rest of the cast is adequate, but I couldn't tell you a single character name. I remember the kid, but that's about it. You know, it's just so average. I mean, I can't tell you the number of movies like this that I saw when I was in high school and college. And being a glutton for punishment, I would just go and see them over and over again. You know, like, what the heck was the name of it? Deep Star 6 and Leviathan and just all the other alien knockoffs. I will admit, they didn't have a flamethrower, which is pretty impressive because almost everybody else has a flamethrower. Even if you're like, you know, 300 fathoms beneath the surface of the ocean, you gotta have a flamethrower, right? But these guys thankfully did not bring in that cliche, but every other monster movie cliche can be found here. You know, that's something that bothered me most is that every single thing we've seen here has been done, and it's been done a half dozen times, and it's been done better. It borrows its visuals from Doom 3, which I don't think was actually a particularly brilliant idea because, I mean, when I think of Doom, I think of the Mars station, I think of the Hellfire Abyss of the earlier games, and I think of just those visuals, not the spooky bump in the night things. And I think you could have done the merging of the Hellfire with the spooky bump in the night type stuff that you had in Doom 3, but, you know, this wasn't that movie. I think The Rock actually is the best part of this movie, and, you know, his character was pretty cool because he was really intense, and he was able to kind of pull off that, yes, I'm the leader, and then he went over to the kind of creepy side where he's just getting ever more intense and ever more obsessed with completing the mission, and that bit of it was good, but the rest was just completely unmemorable. I mean, to be honest, folks, instead of watching this movie, you're really just better off rewatching Aliens for the 23rd time. And so that'll about do it for this edition of Radioactive. I've just gone through, actually, and re-edited the podcast in GarageBand, and I think overall I'm pretty pleased with the sound quality. The only problem I encountered with this particular microphone is that in a couple of places, and obviously since this message is at the end of the podcast, you guys already know this, it maxed out the levels a couple of times, and I tried to take out the worst offenders and massage down some of the other ones by using the track volume function in GarageBand. I don't think it was really an overall success. So I think I clearly need a little bit more experimentation with regards to this mic and figuring out how it works. But overall, I think it was pretty much a successful experiment. But I want to know what you think. Email me at nuketown@gmail.com. Skype me by sending a message to Nuketown and hoping that I'm online. Or finally, you can visit the website at www.nuketown.com/podcast and selecting the podcast for Radioactive number 39 and leaving some feedback there. So thanks, folks. You know, as always, I'm really happy that everybody was listening, and I'm really always appreciate the feedback. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next time.